The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off with a big game in the FA Cup at the Etihad. Manchester City taking on Arsenal. It really did not live up to expectations. Just the one goal when it would come in the 64th minute. Nathan Ake with a nice finish would see Pep Guardiola's side through to the next round. Frank LaBeouf joins us. We'll go to Frank in a moment. Craig, overall, this wasn't quite the barnstormer we were hoping for.
No, but it was tight, and I think we thought it was going to be tight, even with the changes that Arsenal made, but kind of went the way we thought before the game, just not with the goals. I mean, Arteta picked a good side, and they played okay, particularly Trossard in the first half. But when Partey went off, and I don't know if that was just, we'll give you 45 and we'll take you off, or he had a little niggle, but once he goes off, then that's the engine room. He's been their best, well, he's been arguably the best midfielder in the Premier League this season. So Arteta picked a team, I think, Stevie, that said, well, if we get a win here, fine,
we'll
but if we don't, then it's not a drama.
Right.
That's the way it turned out.
He picked a competitive team, and they pretty much were. City, I would suggest, picked a stronger team. But the truth of the matter is, Man City won this game, but they have not answered any questions.
Right.
None at all. You know, we thought it was going to be a barnstormer. We thought both sides would have a little bit of oomph, a bit of emotion and try and get forward. But the truth is, both of them were extremely average, in my opinion. Arsenal did shade it in the first half. City maybe shaded it just because they got a goal. But in all honesty, it was a snooze fest for most of it. And City's won the game.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm sure, as much as Arteta would like to have won, he's OK with the result, really. City are happy they won. Pep's happy he won. But, as I said, right at the get-go, there was no answers to the questions of Manchester City going forward. What's happened to the side that was scoring 3 and 4 goals? Not just 2 and 3 seasons ago, but at the start of the season?
Yeah.
That has completely vanished. And they've won the game, but going forward, I mean, their average is days long.
Obviously, we've seen Liverpool fall off a cliff this year. City are clearly not there. Mm. But they're certainly not the well-oiled machine that they have been. Yeah, they've got a man up front. We talked about it. Can score goals for fun if you put the crosses in the box and you play the right balls in behind. But I tell you what. Yeah, City win. They go on to the next round. If buts and maybes. But if I'm Arsenal, I'm an Arsenal coach, a player, or a fan, I'm sitting there thinking, if we'd have played the big boys today,
yep,
and we've got two games coming up against Man City, if everybody's fit, you have to have said the way Arsenal had been playing without the six changes, I think they could have taken City today.
Do you agree, Frank?
No, I don't. I think I said before the game that Arteta was looking for excuses in case he would have lost. I think the coach who respected the competition the most won today. And now we are saying, yes, but Arteta is because he didn't pick the right team or the best team that he didn't win. But he should have. He should have picked the best team and compete. When he puts parties out, well, defensively, he damages his balance. And seeing Odegaard coming and Martinelli coming on, even if Trossard a good game, made the last 50 minutes very interesting for Arsenal. So he would have picked the right team. He maybe would have gone through and then respected the competition. Now he's out. Yeah. He wasn't smashed like maybe we could have thought, but he lost it. And he didn't respect the competition. For me, therefore, Gunners out of the competition. Yeah, they're still first in the Premier League. So Arteta must be happy because he has all excuses he wanted.
But let's be honest, a lot of managers were disrespecting anything outside the Champions League. and the Premier League, whether we like it or not, the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup have become, probably until the semi-final stages, a vehicle for resting one or two players. So that's not a new thing, unfortunately. We don't always agree with it. We've all played in the cup finals here, and we know how important the FA Cup has been, but the landscape has changed, and I think the landscape for Arsenal has changed in a sense that I don't remember historically the last time they were in this position in the Premier League, right, off the top of my head. And there is a severe balancing act to be had here with, what do? Do I take the risk, or do I play a slightly weakened side? And only at the end of the season can we sit here and go, wow, yeah, you know, he should have done that, and he put all his eggs in this basket, and he did this, and he did this. He made a decision.
Frank,
I think, unfortunately, the way the game played out, it's very easy for us to say he might be thinking, I should have played a better team just because of how poor City were.
Mm.
But that's dead easy now. As we said before the ball was kicked, the importance for him is the Premier League, so he did pick the right team.
Right.
It's just too easy to be the old Monday morning quarterback when we're sitting here right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the decision was wrong and they could have won the game.
Not at all,
I'm looking at it from the perspective of the two league games coming up. Now, I know fortunes change and form changes, but looking at how City are playing currently, and it's only, I think, I don't know, is it 3 weeks or so? Around what?
The 16th, isn't it? February 16th is when they meet next.
It's 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good guess. So, it's unlikely to do a full 360. I'm talking about City's form. And my point is, if Arsenal form continues with their strongest team, I'd be feeling pretty good about playing them.
Frank, does this affect, if anything, the title race?
No, because it's going to be a different competition. And Arsenal have lost with all dignity, so I think they're going to keep their confidence and they're going to go for the fact that it's a different competition and they are 5 points ahead, you know, with one game in hand. So they're going to go and play against City with full of confidence. But again, you know, if they start losing one game and at the end of the day, you know, they don't win the Premier League, they would have sacrifice one competition for nothing. And with the squad that they have, the team that they have, the players that they have in form, I think they could have competed better. And I said it before the game. Mm. I already said it before the game that it was a mistake. So for those games that they're going to have to play against City, of course, they're full of confidence. They have got kind of a mattress, you know, of confidence and points, you know, to save them. But we'll see at the end of the day. We'll see at the end of the competition.
We talked about the importance of Thomas Partey and the clear effect it had when he was taken off. Arsenal realised that. Obviously, transfer market is still open till the end of the month. They're going hard for Caicedo at Brighton, 60 million.
Yeah, keep that going.
You push really hard for this, yeah, just to make sure you've got the reinforcements there to sustain this position at the top of the table?
Yeah, well, the answer is yes. But, I mean, from some of the reports I read today, is that Brighton are, they're so desperate to keep the player, and obviously they've got a new manager in De Zerbi, a new-ish manager, young manager, doing really well. If you're going to pull the rug from under his feet, it's probably going to have to be closer to 100 million, I think.
Right.
He's a very, very good midfield player, really good, strong, good passer, reads the game well, all the attributes that you need. So, yeah, I think Arsenal will push for it. At how much and where their end line is, I just don't know. But clearly, 60 million is not going to get it done.
Doing all the right things, Arsenal. Looking to sign the right players. Again, you know, something that's always been the same. When you're sitting right on top of the pile, there's no better time to strengthen.
Right.
And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Whether they manage it or not, they're absolutely doing all the right things right now.
So, Manchester City through to the next round of the FA Cup. Over the next 72 hours, we'll be learning who'll be joining them as well. Just a reminder, every single match is live on ESPN+. Here's just a selection of them. It all starts tomorrow morning. Walsall taking on at Leicester. Then a number of games kicking off at 10 o'clock ahead of Preston against Spurs. And then we'll have full studio around Manchester United against Reading. It's an early start for Craig on Sunday. He'll be up for Brighton against Liverpool.
Some of us will.
I think I'll tape this game and have a lie-in.
VCR, your Betamax.
Whatever it is, I've got. I can't even remember.
And then Wrexham against Sheffield United. Wrexham, of course, looking to make history as they take on the Championship side. And then on Monday, it's Derby County against West Ham.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Of course, it's not only been the FA Cup that we've had over this weekend. Midweek, we had the Copa del Rey here on ESPN+.
Quarter-final of the Copa del Rey. It has to be decided tonight as well. Can Atletico Madrid shock those who are predicting another Real Madrid win?
La pelota le levanta Coque, llega por el costado Molina, el centro gol. Goal!
A brilliant team goal from Los Rocky Blancos.
Dani Ceballos again, he has to be careful, he's just taken a yellow card.
That's the point, I think, that the Atletico Madrid players are making.
Rodrigo, beautiful feet from him. Mira cómo se viene Rodrigo, ahí está Rodrigo, le puede pegar, qué golazo, si lo clava, gol. Oh, it's a brilliant goal, it's a brilliant goal.
Rodrigo, inventó un helado.
The 90 minutes are up, we'll be going to extra time. Kamavinga Savic's challenge on him.
See you later.
Yeah. Second yellow, he's gone. And Atletico Madrid's problems mount. Sancho across the face of goal. Wonderful jump and goal. Benzema again. And Real Madrid lead.
It's difficult to understand how we are so bad. We are so bad in the first half, we're so good in the second half. It's not only the strategy of the game. Mentally, this team is really strong.
Viene Vini. Viene Vini para pegarle. Vini se acomodó. Le dejaron un espacio. Le pegó gol.
From a Brazilian, Vinicius on target again, and that is game, set, match.
Proper match, wasn't it? And that is depicted in the newspapers in Spain. Front page of AS saying, long live the derby. Marca going with a real derby and another comeback. Real Madrid just don't know when they're beaten. Let's kick things off, shall we, by reflecting on that goal from Rodrigo, boys. This is one of those you're showing everyone because it's just so special.
Great feet. Got a lot to do here as he picks it up. Skips by Witzel. Great feet there, lots of bodies around. And then the other thing was, I noticed Stevie, he's not scoring if he doesn't take this early.
No.
Just here. That's what does the keeper, Oblak.
He's actually got, he's got very little to shoot at as well. Well, he's ended up going wide. But, I mean, look at this, he's got nothing to shoot at here. You talk about accuracy. As Craig said, probably the most important thing is, goalkeeper doesn't see any backlift.
Right. So he's gone and done that flick early.
Well, he catches him unawares, the goalkeeper, which is why he manages to beat him at the near post.
Atleti not happy about the refereeing throughout the game, in particular the Ceballos incident. They felt he should have got a second yellow card for that challenge that we saw outside the box.
Well, there's no doubt it's a free kick, right? He doesn't know the player's there. We were talking about this earlier. Stevie said,
Look how high his boot. Look how low his boot is.
Right.
It's a foul.
It's a foul. Not every foul is a yellow card. I mean, that's just a fact. Not every foul should be a yellow card. And if we were going to yellow card everybody for a challenge like that, There'd be nobody left on the field.
So Atleti...
Why don't Atleti... I mean, listen...
Classless, isn't it?
Listen.
Honestly.
They are. Sometimes they are. I mean, they did get a player sent off, a player with a reputation,
yeah,
who was recently sent off for having a bit of a brawl with Ferran Torres. And he's got a charge sheet as long as your arm. Worry about your own players. Worry about your own form. Worry about your own team. There's always something else with Simeone and his team in this club. There's always somebody else's fault. So it's a referee or whatever it is. You know, La Liga, they're all against us. He's got that. And it's this siege mentality which took him so far, but it's not taken him any further. It was the gas that gave him the momentum, this team, to have the success. But it's almost like the players are not even listening to it now. Nobody's believing it. Nobody's believing it.
You know, Savic in particular, right? You talk about an experienced guy. But unfortunately, he's experienced in the ways of Simeone. Because this guy has got a red card. He's walking off the field. He's left his other 10 teammates in the lurch.
Mm.
But the only thing he's thinking about is how hard done by we are. Instead of a normal person, a normal player, and particularly a normal experienced player, would be worried sick that he'd let his team down. But no. Because they're never held responsible from a guy and a manager who's the same.
Unfortunately, in the build-up to the game, it was dominated by that effigy of Vinicius Jr. that was hung across the bridge, of course, in the Spanish capital with the caption, Madrid hates Real. Vinicius Jr. obviously scoring that third goal. As a player, does it make it...
He walks us through. This is the parting of the... you know, was this the referee's fault here that the defender stepped out of the way? Yes. I know they were a man down. Was it Hermosa?
But this would feel extra special.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly...
You'd have
to ask the player. I would imagine the answer is yes for what he's had to go through and is going through. He's not alone, but wasn't he the player that was involved recently in an away game? Was it Elche or Getafe, where there was alleged racist incidents at him? But what normal thinking person wakes up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to hang an effigy off a bridge about a player and it has racial connotations? What can people wake up and that's what they have in the day ahead? I mean, seriously, in Spain in particular, because we're covering this a lot, La Liga and all the governing bodies around it, and I know the laws are different over there, as Sid Lowe has explained many times, but for God's sake, somebody's going to have to do something about this.
We were talking not that long ago about, you know, the maturity of Vinicius. He's going to have to take it on board that he is now a superstar, those kind of things. But I tell you what, you talk about showing maturity, having had to go through that effigy of the bridge, and be able to use it as motivation.
Right.
And not in an angry way that affects the way you play. So to be able to use it as motivation and to be able to do this in the last kick of the game pretty much, then you enjoy it. Then you start thinking about how great this feels because of that.
Right.
That's real maturity. That's real maturity. And what a goal. Walks his pass too.
Yes,
the defender's not great. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't care less if defenders did that against me. I'd love to be able to do that.
La Liga then continues this weekend. Real Madrid in action against Real Sociedad. That is our feature game on Sunday. Meanwhile, Barcelona kick off early on Saturday. They're away against Girona at 10:15. For Atletico Madrid, they're in Pamplona against Osasuna. Just a reminder, all these games live on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Now, at the other end, Reina, and... Oh! in by Brandt. Alaire's header! And there is Reina! For the second time in the space of a week, Gio Reina is match winner for Borussia Dortmund. His World Cup troubles behind him.
Gio Reina, of course, very much a big talking point on Football Americas over the last few weeks. And I'm welcome to be joined now by very much the star of the show, Hercules Gomez, with us. Say that, Seb.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gio Reina.
The bar is low, boys, but I'll take it.
Herc, let's talk Copa America, of course, been awarded to the US. It will host it in 2024. Very good news for soccer in the US.
Yeah, I would say for the U.S. men's national team, for the Canadian men's national team, for the Mexican men's national team, for, I would also say, the women's sport here as well in CONCACAF, because of everything that it entails. Not only, if we're going to focus on the men's side, these three teams, which are the hosts of this World Cup, won't have quality opposition. They won't have World Cup qualifiers, so they'll have, in a sense, glorified friendlies, if they can get any that are of worth. The potential European suitors of worth, top 10 teams in Europe, are going to be in the UEFA Nations League. The South American teams will be in their own tournaments. So this is a must. It was a must for them to get quality opposition leading into what, quite frankly, could be the biggest cycle in the history of the U.S. men's national team.
Herc, away from this, obviously, it's been a big week in U.S. soccer. Ernie Stewart stepping down. We haven't had the chance to hear from you about this decision. What do you make of it all?
Well, the timing is very strange. Brian McBride, our ex-colleague here at ESPN, was the general manager for the U.S. men's national team. He decided, I guess, before the new year, in October, that he wouldn't continue. It was just announced. Obviously, we all know the drama that surrounded Gio Reina, Greg Berhalter, his parents, Claudio and Danielle Reina, and all that and what it entailed. So the departures right now with a pending investigation from U.S. Soccer into that incident just makes everybody's, I guess, eyebrows just raise a little. So Brian McBride is gone. Ernie is now gone. Ernie is said to have taken the job at PSV for personal reasons. He wants to be closer to his family, who is in Holland. His wife and child are in Holland. His family is in Holland. He was here in the States by himself. PSV is arguably a bigger move than being the sporting director for the U.S. men's national, or U.S. soccer, I should say. So nobody will fault him for that. But the timing is what really leaves a lot just very curious. So now you're left, if you're a U.S. soccer fan, pundit, or whatever the case may be, you've got no head coach at the time. The interim coach is Anthony Hudson, who was part of Greg Berhalter's staff. You've got no general manager. Don't even know if you need a general manager. With all due respect to Brian McBride, I don't really know what that job entailed or what he did there. And now you have no Ernie Stewart. So when are you going to get a coach? You've got to put the cart before the horse, or you can't put the cart before the horse, I should say. You should, I should say. And you got to get somebody make a decision, a sporting director make a decision first on the coach. So sporting director, then coach. Will it be a general manager? A lot's up in the air. And right now, fans, people, pundits are left wondering when and how this will happen.
Are you stepping up, Hurt? Are you throwing your name into the hat?
Listen, I respect Stevie a lot because I don't know anybody in their right mind who would want a coach.
It's a reason.
That's why I'm sat here.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to Copa America after what we saw in the World Cup, of course, positives and negatives. Looking at it, last time they made it to the semi-finals when the Centenario was here, Herc. What would be the expectations this time round? Or are we just in a complete unknown territory considering what? It's 2024.
Yeah, I think this is very unknown territory, Dan. I remember last Copa America, the hype. Listen, let me just start off with Copa America. It's a very nostalgic tournament. It's a tournament with teams like Brazil, Argentina, you get names like Messi, Neymar, but by no means is it a good tournament. It's a tournament with two groups of five, and essentially they play a tournament to eliminate Bolivia and Venezuela and then start a tournament again. So they need CONCACAF here just as much as CONCACAF needs them, and I say this with the utmost respect. This is a very attractive tournament. Last go around, U.S. soccer made so much money off of it. It was like over $100 million surplus off that Centenario tournament in Copa America, or here Copa America in the States. And yes, they made a semifinal appearance. I think they were very fortunate to do so. It was a good team. They made it. But then you played against Argentina and you see where your level's at. There was a network where everybody in that network said the U.S. would beat Argentina. It wasn't the case. This is going to be a tricky situation because this is a U.S. men's national team. Not only the U.S., Mexico itself. Mexican soccer is almost in the same identical problems as the U.S. There's been a change and restructure in the administrative roles. There is no coach in place at the moment. So there's a lot of uncertainty. I really don't know how to peg this. This is, I hope it's not one of those scenarios where CONCACAF Nation Leagues comes about and it's Anthony Hudson who does somewhat well or very well with them. And then he's in charge for that. It really is about who you put in charge of sporting director, the head coach, the vision, the players, how you deploy that, how you think you can play against some of the top in South America that are very good. You've got a Brazilian team that is very good. Argentinian team is obviously world champions. A few other teams there that can definitely cause some damage. So expecting them to actually make a theoretical run in this tournament right now would be very foolish.
Sounds like the Hex, that, doesn't it?
Well,
you have a competition and then you eliminate the same teams, and the same teams got the World Cup, apart from when the US made a pig's ear of it against Trinidad and Tobago. I tell you what, I'd sooner watch the Copa America than the Gold Cup.
Well, yeah, there we go.
That for sure.
Good, excellent, that's good. Thank you very much, Herc. Much appreciated.
Always a pleasure.
Staying in South America, we remember the reaction here from the Uruguay players after they were eliminated by Ghana. Well, FIFA announced that four players have been suspended over incidents following the team's final World Cup match. Uruguay were incensed by refereeing decisions during the 2-0 win over Ghana, but needed a three-goal win to qualify for the last 16. Uruguay's Football Federation was fined €50,000 over the discriminatory behaviour of its supporters and the misconduct of the players. The four players that are suspended, Muslera, Jose Maria Jimenez, Diego Godin and Edison Cavani.
Good.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So City through to the next round. Nathan was there for us and he caught up with Mikel Arteta after the game.
Good evening, Mikel. Obviously, it's a disappointing result, but how do you rate the performance overall from your team?
Yeah, very disappointed because I think we could have taken much more from the game. And just a small mistake in the box punished us, and unfortunately we are out. But I think there are a lot of things, especially the way and the courage and the personality we showed to play the way we played against him, which is never easy. I think the boys deserve a lot of credit for that.
It seemed as though you were very comfortable in the first half overall, but then it wasn't necessarily quite the same in the second half. What would you put that down to, would you say?
I think the start of the second half, but I think we were very dominant in the second half again, and we have some big openings that we didn't put the ball in there to the right player to put them in the net, and unfortunately in these games you need that to win them.
And what exactly is the mood like in the dressing room right now? Because I think lots of people have seen Arsenal play very, very well this season and be rewarded with points, especially, you know, in the league, obviously. But As I say, what is the mood right now amongst those players?
This is another level, and to beat this team and to beat this team at the Etihad, you have to be ruthless and you have to be so convincing, especially in the boxes. And to do that, obviously, in these games is not easy, and we like that today.
And obviously there's been a lot of talk about this game in the build-up because it was City versus Arsenal, but it is still the fourth round of the FA Cup. Did you have to approach this game any differently because of the nature of the team you're playing against, or did you approach it in the same way as just part of the process?
We approached it in the same way, and we wanted to give opportunities as well to the players that they didn't play a lot of minutes, and I think they did really, really well.
And the positives that you and your players can take from the game today?
Sorry?
The positives that you and your players can take from the game today?
A lot of positives, but the disappointment of being out right now probably doesn't allow me to see that many.
Thank you very much.
Arteta there kind of referring to something you said in the preview, Stevie. Regardless of who the opposition was today, they had a plan, and they stuck to that plan. Yeah. But they're out now.
And he didn't lose that baller, did he?
There wasn't an edge that maybe you've seen from Arteta.
Done before he stepped out the dressing room, he's put the cassette recorder in the back, shut the button.
Cassettes is something that we used to listen to in the 80s.
Yes, and press play, and then he spouted all the
stuff. That's how you press play.
I mean, all he was doing was just...
Yeah, go through the motions.
Go through the motions, bothered.
I mean, he gave good game time to players, but as soon as he named that 11 at the hotel or wherever it was, it just, he might as well have written up on the board, not bothered if we go through. And look, I'm not criticising him for that because, as I said earlier in the show, unfortunately, these competitions managers will use as a mechanism to give either people game time or make sure you don't risk injury to one or two key players. The eggs are all in the Premier League basket, and that's what he's saying to his team. He's trying to bunker down in terms of his squad, bringing players in. We'll see if he gets Caicedo before the end of the window, but they've already got a couple of players. But he clearly didn't want to risk. And I was actually surprised. Thomas Partey went off, but I was surprised he played. But I suppose, I mean, he could have went with just Xhaka in there or one of them, but he did take a risk in some sense. He played Nketiah, he played Saka. He played Gabriel. He played Thomas Partey, as I said. So he did take an element of risk. It wasn't like he changed 10 players. But he said, he was basically saying to the rest of them, you know, here's some game time. We're probably going to get beat and we're going to concentrate in the league.
Nadim back with us. Nadim, overall, do you get the kind of same vibe from Arteta that it's definitely not the end of the world?
Possibly, but in that last question which I asked him, he's talking about the disappointment of the defeat. He was trying to talk about the positives of players getting the game time and how he did want to rotate, but you know, I was with him for 2 minutes. He didn't seem too cheery, Dan, I'll be perfectly honest with you. So I think there is an element of disappointment that exists within him, but when things settle, I'm sure he'll be happy to just focus on the league and the Europa League when that starts back up in a couple of months.
There seems to be a theme of you interviewing managers and them not being happy, Nathan.
Yeah, Dan, it's tough. As soon as I see my face, it's nothing. And even with Arteta, like, here's someone I played against, I thought maybe there'll be a connection. I can confirm there was not, Dan. There was nothing.
And on top of that, he's been chucked out of the ground.
I know, that's it.
He's been chucked out.
It's probably an acceptance, you know, from Arteta.
Right.
As much as he doesn't want to lose games, he's probably accepted that because he's making so many changes, they probably will lose it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're always talking about how do you keep a squad happy? Well, the only way you keep them happy is by giving them some time. So really, he doesn't have a choice in a lot of ways when it comes to the FA Cup, because if he has players around that just never play, eventually they become a distraction.
Right.
So he's kind of
That's kind of the actor in him there. I mean, that's him putting. I think it's him putting an act on. It's like,
he probably doesn't like Nadim.
Well, I can't answer that question. But what I can say, I think for the Arsenal fan base, he doesn't want to come out and be going, he's happy-go-lucky, well, we're out. He's gone, look, he's almost saying to them, well, I still expect better standards, even if I make the changes.
Yeah.
So he's saying kind of the right things. But deep down, as Stevie said, he'll just chalk this one off, they'll go back, brush everybody down and try and get back to league business.
Nathan, we've talked a lot about Arsenal, it feels, but it was Manchester City who won this game.
Yeah, that is right. I think they were very sloppy in the first half, but the second half, it just felt better for their perspective. I think the change with Alvarez coming on, we've seen Kyle Walker go out there as well. They seemed a lot more set, a lot more comfortable. And even though it wasn't, say, the best version of them, it was the version of them that sort of makes people believe that they'll find a way to be back in the title race because they just know how to win. And come the end of it, when you bring on the likes of Bernardo Silva as well, the king of time wasting, the way they showed the character to move the ball the way that they did. I think when all things are said and done, for as good as Arsenal potentially looked at times, in that second half they had one shot. I think it was a shot from Vieira which went wide. And I think if you can force Arsenal to be like that, then I guess it shows that it's a strong performance. They had to play differently, but in the end they did it, and now they're in the hat for the next round of the Cup.
God, that's positive, isn't it?
There you are, Sneijden.
You know when Aki scored, we all went, oh, you talk about a surprise.
You were in your big bag of chips at
the
time.
Let's be honest. It was a shock that somebody actually scored.
Well, at the moment, Arsenal, you pretty much you pretty much know Arsenal's team. If everybody's fit, if it was a big game, these two are playing the league, we know the Arsenal team.
Yeah.
A City at the moment, a squad of players that, within reason, it could be anybody. Mm. We've seen De Bruyne on the bench, might have been a bit of a rest. We've seen Foden in, Foden out, Grealish in, Grealish out. The back four has changed. I mean, Diaz has been brilliant for a couple of years. He's had some injury problems, I know, but he's been on the bench a lot. If at the start of the season you'd have said he'd have been out of the team this long, I'd have said no chance. So there is an element of at least one side of it. Arsenal are crystal clear in what they're putting on the field. And I think at the moment, in terms of performances and team selection, for the first time, I think, in a long time, I think there's a question mark in terms of what's City's best team, and does he actually know what's going to do the job for him at the moment? I'm not sure he does.
OK, let's move on from City and Arteta, who doesn't like Nadim, to another person who's had his beef with Nadim over the years. That's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, talking about Argentina and their celebrations after the World Cup win. Messi's won everything and he'll be remembered, but the rest who behaved badly, we can't respect that. This is coming from me, speaking as a top professional player. That is a sign that you'll win once, but you won't win again. You don't win like that. Kun Aguero, who's never short, of course, of coming back on his Twitch channel, said, let's remember that you also behaved badly, right? I remember that we played against United. I was on the bench. You were provoking. You were talking back. You argued with Pep Guardiola. I imagine that's why he wanted to sell you from Barcelona. You disrespected my teammates. What's more, maybe you're also talking to me because I was there. I feel like you shot me and now I'm shooting you. We are world champions, Zlatan. There we go.
Aguero's had the greatest ever summer. He never even played.
I know.
On the pitch. He was
picking
up a trophy.
I know.
He's fighting. Are we back in the school playground here?
Frank, this is a weird comment from Zlatan, doesn't it, overall?
I think Zlatan has the right to express, you know, what he was feeling. It was on French television. It was for the movie that he was involved in, the French movie that he was involved in, that he was answering to some questions. And I think he has the right to say that Messi did well and some others, you know, didn't behave properly. And just one thing, Aguero didn't win the World Cup. I think he wasn't in the squad. You know, his country won the World Cup, but he didn't win the World Cup. The players won the World Cup. And another thing, you know, I think it's not Ibrahimovic has the right to say that because everybody saw that and saw the behaviors of some players, Argentinian players on the field, but especially outside of the field, and especially after they won the World Cup, where they shouldn't have done that, starting from Martinez, for example, and some others. So it's only fair, you know, from a football player to say that. Yeah, we know the character of Ibrahimovic. He wasn't a very nice person for everybody, but I think he was right, and his comment was perfect. Now I want to see a fight between a Tibetan Mastiff and the English Bulldog. That would be very interesting.
So have I missed something here?
Go on.
I mean, I know Martinez, the goalie, was a little bit over-exuberant, unless I've missed something.
Yeah, but Emi Martinez seems to be...
He's a goalie. He's a daft goalie.
Like, with that aside, you don't feel like the rest of the Argentinian players were up to his kind of... They weren't holding the baby with Mbappe and things like that, which upset people, didn't they?
Yeah. And I mean, nothing says the era we're in more than getting upset about people. I mean, we're...
Zlatan is a top professional player.
Yeah, I mean...
He says they're never going to win it again because they celebrated like this.
Listen, he's like us. and let everybody else. You're entitled to your opinion. But unless I miss something drastically terrible, the euphoria in that country, the expectation in that country, the pressure, particularly after losing the first game, particularly after the fact most players probably thought and knew it was going to be Messi's last World Cup. We'll see if that is the case. Their best chance. What a story it was. Who's not going to celebrate? I mean, this is so 2023 that everybody's just offended unless people go, thanks, we're winning the World Cup, we're going to go back to our bed, nobody's going to celebrate, and back to our clubs. What an utter nonsense.
Let's bring in our Zlatan expert then. Nadim, what do you make of this?
Yes. Yes, you know, with Frank said it, he's entitled to have his opinion. You know, he's played the game for as long as he's done. He's been very, very successful. And that thing about how you can tell they'll only win it once. Listen, most of the world would do anything to just get the chance to win it once. So for them, they've done it and they've behaved how they've behaved. And lots of people within the football world would see it and say they'd never do it that way themselves. But so what? You know, I feel at this point it's the equivalent of me saying to Frank how he should continue talk, how he should stop talking about the fact he's won a World Cup. And this is coming from me who's never played in one. You know, for Ibrahimovic, incredible player, incredible everything. But, you know, he's not perfect either. Like, I've been on the field with him. I've heard some of the things he said, not just to my team, but to his own team. You know, and I'm thinking, I would never do that. And lots of people never would. But that's who he is. But this is his opinion. But at the end of the day, Argentina still won the World Cup. And it was up to them to celebrate however they wanted. And like it or not, if you've got an issue, go and stop them. Stop them winning the next one. And then you can have a say in terms of how things really go and how things should be within football.
We've had it. What people don't know is we've actually had it inserted into Frank's contract that he has never to mention Frankie boy.
Well, I tell you what, he's not done a very good job of that.
Never to mention that he's won the World Cup.
Or he
doesn't get paid.
I'm just worried that Zlatan's in a movie that maybe you could have starred in, Frank.
No, I needed this guy had hair.
Oh, no.
To be fair, it's Zlatan.
Well, you know, you know what? Zlatan, when he was in France, insulted my country, you know, after a game, you know, he was in Bordeaux and saying that we were the worst country ever.
Wow.
So we know the personality, we know the guy, and we know that you have to take, you know, some degrees to understand his sense of humor, I would say. And again, I think he was on French TV, tried to please the French people, and he was maybe clumsy towards the Argentinian. I agree with Nadim, and I agree with TV. You know, they have the right to do whatever they want, and they're going to be judged by only what they did outside of the field. They completely deserve to win the World Cup, and congratulations.
I'm really liking that Sergio Aguero's new job. He's the guardian angel.
Oh, he's loving it. So he's on Twitch, he's messing around, he's got nothing to worry about, playing games.
At the end of the day, if this is Zinedine Zidane coming out and saying that, then you might think about it.
Right.
But the fact that it's Zlatan.
Right, yeah.
He just, he'll do anything and he get his moosh into the papers or somebody talking about him.
Away from Zlatan's mush, let's take a look at how it stands at the bottom of the Premier League table, because of course Everton in search of a new manager after sacking Don's best friend Frank Lampard.
What could he have done more, Frank?
Sean Dyche is going to be the man that is going to take control. Does this make sense to you, Nadim?
Makes sense is an interesting way to phrase it. I think he's somebody who's obviously had a track record of keeping a side in the Premier League, but say if he does that this year, then what are their hopes going forward? Do the fans want to see him, say, the next season if he does keep them up? I don't know. I think he's a very, you know, he's a certain type of manager who plays in a certain style and everyone knows what that is, but not many clubs desire it. But at Burnley, that's what he cultivated and he drew success because of it. But this is Everton, a side that's been in the Premier League for the duration. So I'm not 100% sure. I think he is capable of keeping them up, but I just don't feel like that's what Everton should be sort of hoping for season in, season out. But that's what Dyche, I think, will bring.
My son's at that City game. I was worrying that he was be the idiot jumping up and down in the background. Fortunately,
this is a smart move. Is this not a smart move? Because, you know, are any so-called big names going to come in and want to go in and get relegated? Because right now, relegation's staring them in the face.
Right.
So they've basically got the best of both worlds.
But people are saying, how could you have gone from Bielsa to Dyche? Like,
I absolutely
sort of
agree with that. But I'm just looking at the Dyche side of it. The Dyche side of it is, yes, he's kept Burnley up before, but he's also been relegated and brought Burnley straight back up. So that's why this kind of makes some sense. Because quite frankly, Everton staying in relegation in the face. The chances of them staying up with what they have are slim.
Right.
And so he's the ideal candidate.
Everton's continuation of a bad strategy has continued into this appointment. Not because it's a bad appointment, but because of those reasons you mentioned. You have to think about the strategic moves over the last few years, which is sack a manager, throw money at players.
Bad players.
Signed players, you were like, my God. Just recruitment was terrible. And then they have this strategy where there's a bickering in the boardroom, from what we believe, about one wants another, he wants this person. Bielsa brings a chaos to an already chaotic club. Might be nice football, coaching, running, working hard, but that's one side of the coin. And then Sean Dyche is at the pragmatic side of the coin, which I think is the right thing to do for now.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kick, you know, all the old adages, kick a few backsides, bang a few heads together, organise them, understand who's going to do a job for you, all those things. They're already sort of arguing amongst themselves, some of the Everton fans, because they're conflicted. They want to stay up in the division, we're desperate to stay up, but is this going to be more of when Sam Allardyce come in, this long ball football? Sean Dyche himself, was on Sky Sports, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, saying, look, I'm in that box, I think that's what he said, I'm in this box, people have put me in this box, that I'm a long ball, working hard manager, and I can't change that. Well, maybe he's got an opportunity to change that. It's a bad squad, it's an unbalanced squad, but if they do stay up, there's certainly going to be more money for him than what he had at Burnley.
It's a squad that looks like it will be without Anthony Gordon, who's reported to be heading to Newcastle for £40 million, Nathan. Is he any good?
What way to phrase the question? Yeah, of course he's good, but he's someone who has potential. I think we've seen over the last couple of seasons where he's shown real glimpses in terms of his attacking threat, his ability to finish, create opportunities. And he was once the guy that, you know, get the fans off their seats at Goodison Park. Obviously, things over the last few months haven't necessarily been that way. And I think the way he's leaving in terms of not arriving to train and the like isn't going to be great at all. It's not very endearing, but I think for Newcastle, they see a player there who won't just be there for a year or 2 years. It's someone who could be, you know, like a long-term project. I'm surprised that he's gone to Newcastle because, you know, they seem to be a side that, you know, they're in the top four now. I don't think Anthony Gordon necessarily in this moment makes them almost like a lock for that. But I guess they're playing the long game with him and he does show a lot of potential. And it seems that, you know, now's the time to get him away from Everton.
What message are you sending to the Everton fans? You're fighting for your life and you need everything that's good at your club to try and keep you up. But you're going to sell.
But you've got a player who's refusing to go to training. He's kind of forcing their hand, isn't he?
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that behaviour. But at the same time, what message does it send to the fans? That you're getting rid of potentially your best player.
But if your best player doesn't want to play with you and you can't trust him, then you may as well get some money from him.
Anthony Gordon is a scouser who was brought up at the club. You're not telling me that somebody can get their arm around him, have a talk to him, and turn his head a little bit. His agent's probably said to him, right, here's how we do it. You're a young kid, listen to me. This is how it's going to work. If you want to leave, then you don't go to training, don't do this, don't do that. And he's probably gone for the bait.
But then he's got to read the bet.
He was saying that in Newcastle the day before.
But then as soon as the window closes and you don't sell him, then you do you go the other way. You get somebody at the club and you get Graham Sharp and all these old players and everybody that means something to Anthony Gordon.
The fans know that in your hour of need, you've turned your back and wanted to leave.
Let me tell you something. Anthony Gordon stepped on the field when the window's closed and scores a goal and they win 1-0. There's not going to be one Evertonian try to slap him in the back of the head.
But what if he doesn't?
What if he doesn't walk?
What if he doesn't? What if he turns out on the pitch and doesn't turn up?
He's going to give... Anthony Gordon, as I told you, is dyed in the wool Evertonian. And he steps on the field, he's going to give you everything he's got.
I don't agree. I think any of us agree with the way sort of he seems to have gone about it. However, he was one of the players that basically had to be frog-marched out with his car. With people blocked, with fans blockading the roads. So, you know, that's not to condone not turning up for training, but it's fresh in a young man's mind. Lots of people get bad advice. Sometimes you've got to make a decision for yourself. Let's look at it from a Newcastle perspective. You've got Almiron, sort of Joe Linton, Alisson Maximan, who's not played so much. Almiron's just lost a little bit of form. just a little bit. He's not playing badly, but he hasn't come back after the World Cup in the sparkling form he was before it. And also, so far, their strategy of signing players hasn't been big stars, and most of them have worked out. Mm. Whether it's Eddie Howe or I think it's Dan Ashworth, it's up there, the technical director, I might be wrong. But they've signed, they haven't gone for the big superstars. They've gone for players that they think will fit in, they'll work hard, and they'll fit in with what they're building. So, yeah, I mean, he in some sense, he reminds me a little bit of Modric at Chelsea. Although we saw his cameo at Liverpool look pretty good. But he's sometimes a little bit raw, and I think Anthony Gordon is still a little bit raw. Yeah. Some good things, some inconsistent times, very fast, very pacey, very direct, and maybe going there under Eddie Howe is going to be the best thing for him, to get away from his hometown, and to get away from that
exciting
nonsense.
Because he's raw, right. He's exciting. Because he doesn't play as though he's got any shackles on. He plays like he's playing with his mates. And he gets the chance to go at defenders, and he does it. And if there's one thing defenders hate, it's people running at them. And in today's game in particular, you don't have too much of that. So when you do see it, you get on the edge of your seat. That's what Anthony Gordon does.
We'll say thank you very much to Nadim, who I imagine cannot feel his toes anymore now after standing outside in Manchester for that long in January. Frank, though, will be back for extra time. You can always check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow for more, of course, a busy weekend of FA Cup action. We've got the Bundesliga. We've got La Liga as
blah,
well.
Blah, blah, blah.
Come
blah,
on,
blah.
What else have we got?
Blah, blah.
I started, so I was going to finish, and then I kind of forgot where I was going with that. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time is next.
FA Cup?
I said that. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig with us, Stevie as well. Frank LaBeouf as well. How are you, Frank?
I'm good. Thank you very much. What about you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Stevie, if you could incorporate one player from Arsenal, one player from City into your dishevelled Liverpool team, who would they be?
Oh, great question.
Partey and De Bruyne.
Oh, yeah?
Aye.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh, not Haaland.
Not Haaland?
Well, you got to get the ball up front, haven't you? Liverpool can't get the ball up to the front players.
Right.
So you could have Pele.
Okay.
And it wouldn't make any difference.
Okay.
So I'll start with Partey and I'll go with Mr. De Bruyne.
I think what happened there, he forgot about Haaland.
And then
he dug in again.
No, not at all.
He's done it. He's here for
not
digging
at all.
You did say you did answer very
quickly. There's no point in having Haaland if you can't get him the ball.
Stop digging. Why are you digging?
Well, you kept, don't keep going then.
Because you're...
You said before the
yeah,
Man City.
Yeah, but Stevie...
Hold on, hold on. What did he say before the Man City?
Hold on, hold on. You've forgotten.
De Bruyne needs to step up. He's not
there
been playing
yeah,
well.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, he's having him for Liverpool.
Oh, sorry. Is he picking the best players today? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Stevie, all right, if you take De Bruyne, but you have nobody to score goals. If you take De Bruyne, but you have nobody to score goals, what's the point?
Well, De Bruyne will score goals as well.
He's doing everything now.
He's doing it all.
He's just everywhere.
He's doing it all.
He's been benched by Man City. He's coming back as Superman.
Yeah, and Partey's been scoring goals
as well. Oh,
there you go.
We don't need
a centre forward. We've got two midfielders that have been scoring goals.
Hmm.
There you go.
What about Haaland?
When's Partey scored?
Oh, you don't.
He has.
Don't remember the one a couple of weeks ago when he's...
So how many has he scored this season?
Well, that was actually before the World Cup.
So it doesn't count now.
Don't look at me.
So I started with, oh, he scored. And now it's... That was how many?
He's guessing parties going to get all the goals.
So basically, what's happening is, it doesn't matter what I say, you'll come up with one of your usual smarty pants.
Don't go on the offensive.
I've just told you two players.
Parties
two fantastic
two goals. Parties.
Two fantastic choices, by the way.
Okay, which you don't regret.
Not at all.
No.
I wouldn't change it even if you let me.
Wow.
Well, we are.
No, I
there
won't
you are.
It. No.
There you are. Parties got four goals in three seasons.
Yeah, but it's.
Yeah, four of them in the last 4 weeks.
Right, for the boys, what does the City against Arsenal FA Cup game tell us, if anything, about what we should expect when they meet at the Emirates for the first Premier League matchup? It's February the 16th. Zero, says Stephen. Craig?
I think it tells us that City are still a little bit disjointed, not playing the type of football we've become accustomed to. And so I think there is a consensus that City are going to blow Arsenal away over the two games and that's it. Then they're going to go on a charge, even though Arsenal have got a game in hand and that'll be the end of it. I think even with the changes tonight that Arsenal made, I think they've shown that it actually could go anyway.
Frank?
Yeah, 3 months ago I would have said that the two games City will smash Arsenal and they will come back to the just behind them and maybe overtake them, you know, just before the end of the Premier League. But today again, and with all the games that they played previously, the Gunners, they showed that they can compete and win the Premier League. So today showed again that. It's not randomly that the Gunners are first in the league.
Stevie, peak City versus Liverpool makes for a better watch than City versus Arsenal. Same style is boring to watch. Different styles is far more entertaining. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't agree, no. I've got to say I was surprised at how uninteresting today's game was because the way both of these sides play at their best, we saw absolutely none of that today. So I don't think you can as far as the two games coming up, I think it's very difficult to figure out what we're going to get. But as far as the question, no, the way these two teams normally play should be a great matchup. You've got two teams who generally try and dominate the opposition.
Yeah.
That should make for back and forward. You look at the amount of players on the field with the talent that both sides have got. I mean, it smacks of it should be great to watch. Somehow, this game
and
today...
And they don't have the same style.
Go on, Frank.
I think they don't have the same style. Sorry, Craig. I really think that they're different style. I think Arsenal games is more vertical. It's played with more pace than the Citizens. So... saying that they play the same kind of football, it's untrue. But I go with Stevie. If you're not in a good day, it's not because you're City or Arsenal that it's going to be entertaining. And that's what we had today.
I understand the question, and I think it's borne out with the fact that Arteta is seen as a sort of disciple of Guardiola. But actually, Arsenal are they're more like Liverpool than people would imagine.
Right.
Obviously, there's differences.
Yeah.
But the Arsenal's normal game is high intensity. Getting it forward quickly, getting it wide quickly, and getting your wingers running at people, that front three. We saw it a bit from Trossard tonight. But Arsenal normally play a lot more front foot. City are more, obviously, possession side. Arsenal do keep possession pretty well. But, yeah, there is a contrast in style because we normally see Arsenal bombing forward, particularly at home.
Yeah.
Just didn't see that tonight. But I think we will in the league game when there's more at stake.
Craig, it was recently Australia Day.
It was Burns Night the other night. And I didn't even know. Did you know it was Burns Night?
I didn't. Do you know, I was going to ask you that question.
What is Burns Night for those?
It's for Robbie Burns, who was the famous poet, and I don't know much more than that. Stevie, help me out.
Okay, Stevie.
He's from here.
He comes from Ayrshire, where we're from.
Right.
Yes.
You never heard of Robbie Burns?
I've heard of...
Well, at school, I don't know, when they probably wouldn't do it now, but at school, every school would have a Burns day or a Burns evening.
OK, and what would that entail?
Well, you had to recite a poem or sing a song from Robbie Burns. Back
do you remember?
The
does anything come to mind?
No.
Tam O'Shanter's Bridge, have you heard of that?
No.
No.
Right. You're
telling, so, I didn't realise
what
was
it? Cower and Tim and his Beastie. For some reason, it's called The Mouse. But that's how it starts.
Oh.
You're Cower and Tim and his Beastie.
Oh, there we go.
I heard McCoy's the other night. Somebody said to him on radio, what's the difference between Burns morning and Burns night? And he went, about 8 hours.
Who was better? Now, of Harry Kewell and Mark Viduka.
At what?
What do you think?
Well, because they're completely Snooker. Different players.
Well, who it's for Craig, first of all.
Oh, sorry. All right, keep me mouth shut then.
What's the Australia day got to do with?
Well, shut up.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I know. I'd watch this Australian, isn't he? Ask him.
I got him.
That's Riley.
He's not. I don't think he's on the show today.
He won't know who Viduka is.
He won't have a clue.
Well, it's hard to say because I played against Harry Kewell and I played with Mark Viduka.
Right.
As Stevie said, I mean, one's a wide guy and one's a big front-up target man.
Sure.
Well, see, I call him a target man, he's not.
Who would you prefer to be on your team?
Depends what Viduka was turning up.
OK.
I mean,
well, Kewell's a more rounded player.
Big Viduk sometimes could be
mercurial.
Put this in the right context. He had better days than others, depending.
Okay, it's unpredictable.
But I can tell you one thing about him. Nice guy as well, by the way. But I tell you one thing about him. For a big front guy, he had unbelievable feet, quick feet, skill, strength. I mean, one of the best.
Right.
I've seen. We played against him in the Champions League and he was playing for Croatia, Dinamo Zagreb at the time. And we went over there, got horsed after winning the first leg. Prozanetsky, all them were playing. Ooh, it was nasty. We went to applaud the Celtic fans at the end of it and they were giving us the two fingers. But he played up front and basically smashed Big Reaper and Stubbsy all over the place. Right. And when we come in the dressing room, they had like blood all over and they were like, we need to sign him. And a couple of months later, we signed him. So he was a terrific player. I would have to say Viduka at his best. But I suppose because I played with him.
You'd agree, I imagine, Frank, considering your history with Harry Kewell?
Oh, I forgot about that.
I think technically Kewell is maybe the best the Aussies I've ever had. I think Viduka was more consistent than the Kewell overall. But I would go for Frank Farina, the striker and former national team coach of Australia. I played with him.
That's not an option, Frank. You can't throw another option in.
Obviously,
I don't care. I want to talk about Frank Farina. I love him. If I want to talk about Frank Farina, we're live and you can't cut me off.
Why don't you go with Skippy instead?
Come on, Frankie. I love Frank Farina.
Okay. Final question. Stevie, when are you releasing your health book so you can share your secrets on living a healthy lifestyle by eating shepherd's pie, crisps, soda and chocolate?
Well, we saw the chips today.
It was a big packet of chips you had today, which was supplemented by a smaller packet because you...
The big one was, as he said to us, this one is nearly empty.
Right.
The problem is...
We emptied it.
...is today...
Yes.
You may have a big bag.
Yes.
But there's probably more air in it than chips.
Oh, no.
So that's why I had to have the backup bag.
Right, I see, because, well, companies...
Well, don't be fooled by the size of the bag. There's not as much in it as you think.
Oh, yeah. Just scraps in the bottom of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, listen, it depends on your metabolism.
Right.
Some people can get away with eating all that stuff.
Yes.
I mean, as your example. And some can't.
Yes, exactly.
The amount of walking and exercise you're doing,
there you go,
your metabolism...
5 miles a day.
5 miles a day, yeah.
And if you get lost, even longer.
Yes, exactly. Oh, dear. Eleanor's back, though. You didn't get lost. You haven't been lost recently? You haven't had a phone call, Craig?
No.
No, that's good. That's
no phone calls.
Beautiful. That's it. What are you doing this weekend, Frank?
I'm going to be on stage on Sunday, north of France, And that's it. I'm going to be with you tomorrow evening.
Oh, lovely. There we go. Have some Our tickets still games. Available for those watching in the north of France who want to go.
Did he actually... Hey, Frank, before you go on stage...
It's full.
Oh, it's sold out.
Do you people actually go break a leg?
Yeah.
Do they actually do that?
We say... We don't say in France break a leg. We say... Sorry, it's a bad word. We say... Because
Good,
it's
say it again.
Because but in the ancient time, you know, because of carriage and horses, if you have lots of
in front
of the theater, that would mean that the many people were inside. Is what we say that.
Yeah, I say
before the play.
So, but is it a live show?
Break
Frank?
A leg.
It's a live show.
There you go.
Do you mean you walk out, Frank, when you're acting?
Yeah, it's 2 hours live show.
Yeah. How can it be a live show?
I didn't know it was on stage.
It's on stage.
It's a play. I switched off. Then they go, there's that Frank in the World Cup.
And what about Macbeth? Can you say Macbeth backstage in France?
No, we do more than Shakespeare. We do more Molière.
But in theatre world, you can't say Macbeth. You have to call it the Scottish play, can't you? Or else it's bad luck. There you are.
No idea.
Oh,
yeah,
there are some stuff like that. You don't wear green. We don't wear green because Molière was dyed on green suit. So you don't wear green anywhere because it's bad luck. But I'm not superstitious.
Okay. No. All right. Thank you very much, Frank. You've made our producer, Pete, now very happy that you have to edit that out for the other shows. It's Friday night's done. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow as we will be speaking FA Cup, La Liga. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.